It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, the Christmas Eve edition. Wow, are you already off? Are you already traveling back home to be with the family? Are you out Christmas shopping? I got to tell you, there was no traffic this morning coming into the news bunker, so I think a lot of folks are taking off early and enjoying this beautiful, beautiful Christmas season. All right, we've got a great show for you folks lined up, and we have a very special treat for you coming up in the third hour of the program. You're going to want to stick around for that. Also, I will just say that we have a great Christmas show coming. And you're going to love it. The team worked incredibly hard over the weekend and put together just a terrific Christmas show. You're going to hear that in place of our regular program on a Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it was a lot of fun and a little bit of holly and jolly. We didn't smoke any holly. Maybe Dieter did. But the rest of us, we were of sound mind. And it was a lot of fun. And we can't wait to share that a little Christmas present with you. By the way, our telephone number today, if you want to weigh in, it's very simple. Write this number down, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to start with a pretty disturbing story out of New York City. And we're getting some new intel, new information on what happened. But I have to tell you, folks, It's beyond depravity. So as the story now goes, an illegal alien on Sunday morning around 7:30 walked onto the F train, which is a subway, one of the subway lines in New York City, and saw a woman, and this woman was sleeping. That's not unusual at that time of the morning on a subway. And this guy goes over and decides to set this woman on fire. So he takes out a lighter, and he sets fire to her clothing. It's the most horrifying thing. There is video footage, and I watched the footage yesterday, and I wanted to see it for myself. And I am telling you that this was beyond heinous. So after setting fire to this woman, he then stood there. The subway car was in one of the subway stops along the F train. And he stood there and he watched as this woman burned to death. And then he started fanning the flames with his jacket, trying to make sure the flames did not go out as they consumed this woman's flesh. I can't even share the video. I'm not going to share the video with you. It's that horrifying. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, they were able to later arrest this guy. We find out that he's an illegal alien from Guatemala. And now the latest news is that this illegal had actually been deported. He had previously been deported, but he was able to sneak back into the United States, and he was actually living in one of the taxpayer-funded shelters for illegals in the Big Apple. Are you understanding what's going on here now? But I want to set aside the illegal alien part for just a moment. And the fact of the matter is, that every person, and hear me on this, every person involved in this ought to be in jail. If you are an elected leader, if you are a government worker, a bureaucrat, and you are responsible for the actions that led to this man being able to get back into the country, if you gave this guy shelter, knowing that he had already been deported, then every person needs to be charged as an accessory to this woman's murder. She was literally burned alive. But I want to set that aside for just a moment. This woman, she was not alone. There were a number of people in that subway. Not a single person rushed over to help put out the flames. Not a single person did the whole drop and roll, right? I mean, how many times have we seen that where you take off your coat and you try to smother the... Nobody tried to do that. You know what they did? All of those animals, they took out their phones and they started filming. And let me say this. If you are in the midst of a tragedy, if you're in the middle of some sort of a horrible tragedy and your first instinct is to take out your phone and start filming instead of going over and trying to lend help, to lend assistance, you are a very bad, evil person. Period. Nobody went to help this woman. And as I watched, and I watched two different videos, and Dieter, I know you watched the videos as well. I'm wondering if you saw what I saw in these videos.
I mean, I was sick. Instantly stomach ache. And the team can verify it. I don't think I've ever... You remember when outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, when that deranged lunatic lit himself on fire and everything? This was that, but worse.
Not a single person stopped to help. But here's what got me. In those videos, I saw not one but two men in uniform, and it looked they could either have been MTA agents or they could have been NYPD. The woman was literally standing up burning to death, and they just walked right by her as if they didn't even see her. I don't understand. How is it as a law enforcement officer you're not going to stop and at least try to render some sort of aid or assistance?
And Todd, you've lived in New York for years. You know how busy subways are. And I don't know if that it was the F line. In Manhattan, I just don't know. Every time I've been on the subway, there are people around. And in that video, you could tell there were people around.
There were people around. And this was in Brooklyn. The F train is a very busy line that goes from Brooklyn to Manhattan, and it hits all the boroughs. I'm astounded. And then I think back to what happened with Daniel Penny, who was the young Marine who stepped in to try to stop a guy who threatened to kill his fellow passengers. And, of course, he got put on trial for his life. So now you wonder, okay, is it possible that now you've got a bunch of people in New York City and they were terrified of stepping in because they didn't want to be arrested. They didn't want to be accused of committing some sort of a crime. Mm-hmm. But, again, I think there's a little bit of a difference here. A woman was on fire. A woman was on fire, and nobody wanted to stop and help this woman?
Yeah.
What does that say about our country? What does that say about the level of immorality and depravity in our country where not a single person would stop and help this woman?
This is what happens when you have elected officials like AOC after the situation with Daniel Penny and that verdict came in, and she actually slammed the people that are scared to ride subways. She slammed people like Daniel Penny for being the good guys. This is what happens when you villainize the good guys and you praise the bad people. Good people will be hurt and they will be killed.
And by the way, you know who ultimately is responsible here? You've got the Catholics and the Baptists, and those two denominations, those two religious groups have been fiercely protective of these open border policies. You don't see them. You don't see anybody from the Catholics or the Baptists condemning any of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's up with that? If I were you, and I want to talk to the Catholics and the Baptists, but if Catholics, you need to be contacting your local priest, and you need to be demanding answers because your money is being used to protect people like this illegal who just set a woman on fire. And Southern Baptist, there's a group called the Ethics and Religious Liberty Organization that is a part of your Southern Baptist Convention. Every time you give a tithe on Sunday in your church, you are funding that, and it is a far left organization. And they are part of this group that's advocating for open borders. And I'm telling you right here and right now, you need to be calling. You ought to defund the ERLC is what they call it. I'm just appalled. And I know what I would have done there. I would have done
something.
That's right. And I can't tell you how many times I was, you know, I did a lot of walking in New York City. And every now and again, you would have somebody who would fall or trip. And I just happened to be there. And you know what you do? You stop and you help to make sure they're okay. There was this one person, one elderly woman. She wasn't able to get back up. So we waited for the ambulance and for law enforcement to get there. I mean, I did not see humanity.
Well, and we have a little bit of audio. There's one person that's just filming and screaming, oh, holy bleep, and like do something. There's only one person saying anything. I mean, I would expect mass pandemonium or chaos on the deck of people rushing to help this woman. That's not what I heard.
I'm just curious, what would you have done, ladies and gentlemen, if you had been on that subway car and the woman is on fire? Would you have rendered aid? Would you have helped this woman? Did these subway passengers do the right thing by just standing down and doing nothing at all? And I don't get the NYPD, and they're going to have to come out and explain this. They're going to have to explain, or the MTA. It's one of the two. They have to explain why their officers did nothing.
And apparently there's been an increased presence of National Guard. Where were they? I mean, the governor every other week is celebrating the fact that they've added more National Guards, men and women. They weren't there.
Also, over the weekend in New York City subways, one person was shot, two other people stabbed. It is a very dangerous place. And I know we have so many people from across the country that you go to New York City for Christmas to look at the decorations and do the windows and all of that kind of stuff. You see the Rockefeller tree. I'm telling you, this is a dangerous city, and you've got to be careful. And the fact that we've got, and there are hundreds of thousands of illegals, and many of them are criminal illegals. I think 60,000 at least that are illegals with felonies attached to their crime of crossing our border. So this is an incredible, incredible tragedy. But for me, the broader story and the bigger story is, what does it say about us as a people that we would stand down and do nothing? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Baxter in Toccoa, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Baxter, what's your take on this?
Todd Starnes, how you doing? Merry Christmas, brother. I really love your show. Listen, those people on that train, yes, they are definitely complicit legally. Legally, they are to be held liable for what they didn't do to help. It's almost as if they were aiding and abetting that guy, right?
Well, I mean, I would think so. I mean, certainly from the, you know, and again, from the government standpoint, I think people should be held accountable. I will say this, in most cases, you cannot be held liable legally for not helping somebody. There's no legal... What?
Here's what's been going on for years since Biden's office. People have been betrayed by their own government, those people in charge. And it's trickled down. It's a trickle-down effect. Even the police officers do not feel like nobody has their back if they do the right thing, especially in big cities like New York. And we've seen that great falling away of our trust in the institutions. It's all signs of the time, you know that, Todd, because it's in days. But, yeah, it's you take Daniel Penny, he's the exception to the rule, and look what they did to him. And so people are, you know, but to be, okay, I can understand being afraid to help, but to sit there and film the doggone thing, come on. Good grief, that's the bottom of the barrel to me.
All right, Baxter, I think a lot of folks agree with your assessment there. We got to run for a break, my friend. Hope you and your family have a Merry Christmas. And again, those officers, by the way, now being identified as members of the NYPD, and they stood there. Those officers stood there, and they didn't try to help this woman. And by the way, the suspect was still there fanning the woman's flame as the NYPD officers were there.
Is sitting on a bench about 2 feet from where this woman was on flames.
Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Merry Christmas to you, America. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Ray in New Bern, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate. Ray, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from New Bern, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, good to have you with us. And what's on your mind?
Well, I'm beyond appalled because I was a cop 30 years. I worked in special victims at NYPD. And I got to tell you something. If I was on that train, I can't prove this because I wasn't. But if I was on that train, that guy would have never even been able to set that woman on fire. You know, you got to look at your surroundings. You got to watch people. You can't, especially in New York, the worst criminals in the world ride the subway. And these people will take out their phones. I mean, a few years ago, a bunch of people photographed a gang rape. And there were big, scrapping men on that subway car, and nobody helped this woman. What's happening to us?
Ray, what do you make of these? What do you make of the two police officers, Ray? They were there, and they did nothing.
Well, you know, they talk about the thin blue line, but I got to tell you something. When cops do something that egregious, I'd have no problem turning them in. I'm not kidding. Because, you know, they don't deserve to be wearing the badge. They don't deserve to be wearing the gun. Now, I'm not going to second guess them because I wasn't there. But playing devil's advocate, if what's being reported that they were two NYPD cops and they did do nothing, they don't deserve to be cops. You got to take a stand sometimes. You can't be afraid to do your job because you're afraid of getting into trouble. If that's the case, then go sell cars. You know, or work in a fast food restaurant or, you know, do something else. But if you're entrusted with people's safety and you just walk around and just let things happen, you know, one of the reasons why we have such strict domestic violence laws is because years ago in Connecticut, a deputy sheriff stood around and watched a woman get stabbed to death by her husband and did nothing. You know, so people are just, I don't know. I don't even know how to really wrap my mind around what's going on in this country right now.
If your first reaction is to take out a phone and start filming instead of going to help, that you've got a moral problem. That is a problem with your soul.
Yes, absolutely. Soulless, and I would say human garbage. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, I don't, you know, going back to the Daniel Penny, after all that he had been through, he said that if he had to do it all over again, he would. And I think, again, that goes to character. That goes to the fact that this guy was raised right. And if you are a man, especially, if you are a man, you have a moral obligation to go and help a woman in distress. All right, Ray, got to run. We got to take a quick break. Great call, though, and I appreciate your perspective. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
MyPillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list. From bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So, look, the ethics report on Matt Gaetz has been released, and I want to go through some of this. And I'm wondering, does it matter to you at all? This House report, the report accuses Matt Gaetz of paying women for sex, using illegal drugs, and accepting improper gifts. Gaetz is also accused of engaging in sexual activity with a 17-year-old girl. This is a 37-page report. It came out just a couple of hours ago, and the Ethics Committee concluded that Gaetz violated multiple Florida state laws related to sexual misconduct while in office. Now, Gaetz has consistently denied any accusations of wrongdoing. An earlier federal investigation into the allegations ended without charges being filed against him. And also today, Matt Gaetz has filed a lawsuit hoping to block the release of the report. That clearly did not work. Horses out of the barn, as they say. The report alleges that Gaetz made tens of thousands of dollars in payments to women, likely in connection with sexual activity and or drug use from 2017 to 2020. In one alleged sexual encounter, I'm reading from Fox News, by the way, in one alleged sexual encounter, Gaetz had sex with a 17-year-old minor at a summer 2017 party. The report concluded the act violated Florida's statutory rape law, even though the girl, identified as victim A, said she never told Gaetz her age. The committee received testimony that victim A and Gaetz had sex twice during the party, including at least once in the presence of other party attendees. Sweet Lord. The 17-year-old girl claimed to have received $400 in cash from Gaetz, which she understood to be payment for sex. This is according to the report. She said she was under the influence of ecstasy at the time of the good golly. She also said that she saw Gaetz use cocaine. The committee's report stated it did not receive any evidence indicating Gaetz was aware the girl was a minor when he allegedly had sex with her. The report also alleges Gaetz refused to comply with a subpoena demanding an interview and intentionally withheld information about a trip to the Bahamas with women. All right. Jeez. All right. Here are some thoughts on this, everybody. So, look. There are many, many in the America First movement who have been outraged over the allegations surrounding Jeffrey Epstein and Epstein's Island and all of the high-dollar people, the billionaires and Democrat lawmakers and others who may or may not have been doing things that were illegal on this island of a sexual nature. But what is the America First Movement doing? The America First Movement rightly is calling for the release of all information, that investigation should be had, and anybody who committed sex crimes or any crime should be brought to justice. They should be held accountable. I completely agree with that. But you can't at the same time turn a blind eye to this House Ethics Report. You just can't. I mean, that has to be looked at. And we'll see where all of this goes. Gates resigned from Congress, so he's no longer under their authority. And there's a lot of bad blood up on Capitol Hill. But I want to take it a step further. We have spent tens of millions of dollars in hush money that's come from our bank accounts to take care of these sexcapades up on Capitol Hill. And it's going all the way back to 1997. And I believe, just in the spirit of fairness, if you're going to do this to Matt Gaetz, then you've got to release all of the investigations into every member of Congress, whether or not they did anything or not, which, again, that's not the point of the Matt Gaetz thing, right? They have no authority over Matt Gaetz. They're releasing this to, I don't know, smear the guy? Or maybe he did it. I don't know why I wasn't there. But they've got a lot of evidence to suggest that Matt Gaetz did what he is accused of doing. But again, he hasn't been arrested. He hasn't been charged with any crimes. Matter of fact, the feds looked into it and they said, no, we don't see anything here. But I don't care at this point. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent. I don't care. If you were involved in something up on Capitol Hill and our tax money covered it up, I want to know about it. I'm sick and tired of both parties covering up for their people here. It's a big problem. So anyway, we'll see how all this plays out. But I will say this. It's a good thing he withdrew his name for the attorney general, because I'm not sure he would have been able to survive this report coming out. I really don't. Meanwhile, things are looking very good for Pete Hegseth and Kash Patel, among others. Oh, what was it? Karen Robson, who was she got Trump's support over the weekend at AmFest. She's from Arizona and ran against Carrie Lake and got beat. It was really ugly. And now they're trying to say that Robson is a rhino. This is a woman who literally raised millions of dollars for Donald Trump, millions of dollars for Donald Trump. On top of that, she is a candidate who can win if, in fact, you're. So, look, Carrie Lake cannot win in Arizona. That's it. She just can't. I wish she could, but she didn't. And Trump believes that Robson, who has raised millions of dollars for him, is a good pick. But it's interesting because they're treating, so you'll have that same crowd treat her like she's some sort of a pariah, and yet they think that Matt Gaetz is the next best thing to slice bread. I just don't get that. But that's where we are right now. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, AmFest was over the weekend, and we're going to be talking to someone from the Daily Wire. They were there and covered it. I mean, they had a massive crowd of people there. And my takeaway from all of the weekend festivities is that we are entering a new time in American political history, and that the Republican Party that you and I know no longer exists. And I want to play some audio here. This is Senator Fetterman from Pennsylvania, and he sort of had a change of heart. You know, he had the brain surgery. When he went into the surgery, he was a leftist. When he came out, they fixed him, because now he's kind of sort of a conservative-ish. Cut number 9.
Do you think he has the potential to be a successful and a good president?
I hope, because I'm not rooting against him. If you're rooting against the president, you are rooting against the nation. And I'm not ever going to be where I want a president to fail. So country first. I know it's become maybe like a cliche, but it happens to be true.
So, and he's not the only one having a change of heart here. Stephen A. Smith actually went on Fox News, and here's what he had to say about the Dems.
I don't think anybody could dismiss Donald Trump at this particular moment in time, not just because of him, but because of what we've seen the Democrats do. We're not falling for it any longer. The American people aren't falling for it any longer. I voted Democrat, and I got to tell you something right now. I don't like the fact that I did. I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't want to hear about, oh, we're about law. We're about a law. Nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. But then you go out and you pardon your son and you try to blame everybody else for it. I don't want to hear about defund the police. I don't want to hear about, you know, what there should be open borders. I don't want to hear this stuff. And I don't think most of the American people want to hear that. And I'm no longer interested in, nor do I believe any of us should be interested in listening to a bunch of fear-mongering to tell us who we shouldn't vote for. Why don't you come up with a plan that tells us why we should vote for you?
Yeah, it's a fair point, and I hate to break the news to the Democrats, but it's over. Nobody's going back to the Democrat Party. They took it too far, these radical progressives. And I'll get into more of this a little bit later on the show, but we've got to talk about this Wall Street Journal report. You know, we talk, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, Elon Musk is president of the United States. No, he's not. But if you want to know who really is being run by the oligarchs, we need to take a look at the Democrat Party right now. Who's been running the White House? We now know, based on the Wall Street Journal report, it wasn't Joe Biden. So you literally have unelected bureaucrats who have been running the country for the past 4 years, which is why you've seen some of these insane radical policies coming down. They're not coming from Joe Biden. They're coming from the staff who are actually running the White House. All right, let's go to the phones here. North Carolina, Kelly wants to weigh in on Matt Gaetz. Hi, Kelly. What you got for us?
Hi. Can you hear me okay? I don't know if there's
loud and clear.
I'm talking to you. Great. All right, so I'm not saying whether he has or has not done anything, but what I've noticed is people want to come in and hit that ground running and kind of go full force at Matt. Now, here's where my head goes. We also went down a rabbit hole. Well, I didn't, because I was, you know, a little smart enough to understand what I was looking at. But people went down a rabbit hole for 4 years chasing a garbage dossier that supposedly had incriminated Trump, which we all know, Russia, Russia, Russia. All I'm saying is before people start jumping the gun and, you know, pulling the trigger on Matt, like, I'd really like to see hard evidence. I don't want to hear a report. I don't want to hear somebody's observation of a witness, of a witness, of a witness. I'm over it. If he did it, great. I want to see concrete evidence. And that's all I have to say about that. I just,
what
before
would your,
we start running him up a flagpole.
What you would know? Your what would your concrete evidence be?
I want to show me a receipt. Show me a picture. Show me, you know, a photo with him with these multiple people supposedly in the background. I mean, I'm sorry, but when they start talking about paying for cash and $400 here or $500 there into somebody, again, it's all verbal. It's one person's word against another. I'm not trying, you know, I'm a woman business owner. Make no mistake, I understand how tough it is, you know, to kind of make your way in the world. But I'm just having a really hard time accepting without true concrete evidence. People's suggestions and, you know, what they're saying may or may not have taken place. I want to see an evidence. I want to see a picture. I want to see receipts. I want to see something. What I keep hearing is out of these reports is, well, you know, she said he paid her cash. She said that, you know, I'd like to know her background.
So, no, I hear you, and I'm with you on that. I want to see the evidence. Last week, I think it was week before last, Matt Gaetz actually acknowledged that he would give these women he was dating money. He said that he paid more than $10,000 to women through Venmo and PayPal, but he said that he just normally likes to do that, and so, okay, that's just a little weird. It's unusual, but that's, you know, he's admitting to doing that. I think the issue is, does that rise to the level of a crime? And I think the feds determined, no, it did not. The issue would be the 17-year-old who acknowledged that she never told Matt Gaetz her age, and, you know, he never inquired about it. So, again, you know, the feds looked at all of this and they decided there was no crime here.
All right. So they've already looked at it and they've already determined there's no crime. So I'm not understanding why it's still, you know, a topic of interest. Other than where I understood your point about if it was taxpayer money, then I have to side with you on that. You know, if it's taxpayer money, then, you know, we don't want our money being spent for stupid, frivolous crap, which we know happens all the time. But if he's paying it out of his pocket, out of the money he's earned for working his hours and doing what he's supposed to, you know, I hate to say it, for me, you know, as a woman, just, you know, not my monkey, not my circus, and it's just not my business. He can do whatever he wants. He's a grown man. As long as there's no impropriety that is so vulgar or malicious, with you know, disgusting intent, you know, where bodily harm, something along that line, poisoning, drugs. I just, you know, it's somebody's business.
But don't we have to hold the Democrats to the same standard then?
Well, we've never held the Democrats to any standard on what comes on to us as Republicans or conservatives or moderates, however you want to put it. Look, that is always going to be the way that is. It's the old boy club. You know, they're always going to come after us with, you know, everything they have and then some. And, you know, we're soft-spined and we don't retaliate the way I think we should sometimes. But that's just the way it's always been. Yeah, of course we're supposed to hold them accountable. But the problem is that, you know, it never happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it right that Matt Gaetz is getting run up a flagpole when we know Hunter Biden has been sticking whores and everything. Oh, sorry.
No, that's whores, appropriate. Whores, yeah. Or sidewalk Sally's war.
Run around with whores. and you know, drugs and everything else. We all know it's there. It's right there in front of us. The problem is that there's just such a skewed society on the way they want to approach this that we will always be filleted, you know, and roasted, and they will always find a way to continue to crawl on their bellies like the cockroaches they are and avoid the light when they can and keep getting away with a lot of the stuff, which hopefully these next 4 years we can start making a turnaround. Because frankly, I'm over it. I'm over hearing about stories of women being set on fire. I'm over it. Hearing about people trying to protect other people and they're the ones being held accountable. There's a morality lost in this country that we're trying desperately to bring back.
And Kelly, that's the point for me. I'm done with everybody. You know what? I'm tired of my money being used to cover up crap. You know, if these people are up there and we elect them, then they turn out to be horn dogs chasing around the pages and the secretaries and the interns. We need to know about that. And there needs to be a price to pay. If we're going to be the party of family values, and that's really what the Republican Party claims to be, then, yeah, we do have to hold the Republican Party to a higher standard. I mean, we know what the Democrats are all about. And, you know, the question is there a double standard here? So, but when it comes to Matt Gaetz, you know, with the information, and by the way, I asked that based on the information he has readily acknowledged is accurate. As far as the criminal stuff, look, they're doing this to punish Matt Gaetz. They're doing this because of what he did to Kevin McCarthy. So this is all payback. That's what this is. Nobody in the – and hear me on this, Kelly. That ethics committee in the House, this is not about doing the right thing. They're trying to screw Matt Gaetz. That's all that is. So we – and all right, Kelly, I got to run. I am super late for a break, but I appreciate your thoughts. Folks, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, folks, now is a great time, by the way, to head over to todstearns.com. If you haven't already done so, download our podcast. Be sure to check out our newsletter. Those are free services that we have for you guys, so be sure to check those out. Got to take a quick break. We're going to be talking to Michael Wilson from our great affiliate in Houston, Texas. That's Patriot Talk 920. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the Panama Canal Zone. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Happy Christmas Eve to you, wherever you might be across America. Wow, I am telling you, President Trump is fired up. I mean, this event over the weekend in Phoenix, the AmFest, remarkable. You had tens of thousands of people there, mostly young people. President Trump was a rock star. People were lining up in the wee hours of the morning to see him. And President Trump says, hey, look, we are going to usher in the golden age of American history. And I believe it. The president, it looks as though he's about to embrace the Monroe Doctrine. And, I mean, he's talking about taking control of Greenland, talking about retaking the Panama Canal. Rolling Stone says there's some indication that Trump's actually looking at annexing parts of northern Mexico. And we don't know if he was still joking or not about Canada. But it's... Folks, it's going to be fascinating to watch all of this unfold. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have Michael Wilson with us, host of the Lone Star Conservative. He is the Lone Star Conservative every morning at our great affiliate in Houston, Patriot Talk 920. Michael, good to have you with us today.
How you doing this morning, this afternoon? How you doing?
Yeah, Michael, I'm doing great. I am on a high that I have been on since election day and election night. And I'm telling you, I'm not sure if the country is ready for the change that is about to happen. And I'm talking about change for good.
Oh, of course, of course. And I tell you what, I made the comment election night after it hadn't been called yet, but me and my wife were looking at the TV, we're like, it's over. And I made the comment, I said, it's dark outside, but the sky already looks bluer, and that has not stopped.
No, it hasn't. And I know, Michael, you're a younger conservative, and I'm just curious, what is it about Donald Trump that has been so appealing to young men of your age demographic?
Well, I tell you what, Todd, for many years at this point, young men especially have been demonized. If you look in the public school system, for years, we've been told that just basic everyday masculinity is inherently toxic, and that by extension, it's misogynistic. It hates women just to be men, right? And then after years and years of that, frankly, from both parties, from everybody, Donald Trump comes along and says, actually, no, that's not true. Actually, it's a good thing to be a man. And it's the running joke, right? Like everyone asks in the Democrat Party, why did young men not go for Tim Walz? Like, Donald Trump is nothing like the common man. He's this rich, eccentric billionaire. And all the young men look and say, yes, it's something that's inspiring. A man who's willing to be a man, to work hard for his family. Something that for years we've been told is bad. And finally, I think young men are waking up and realizing that it's not so bad after all.
Michael, I'm curious, when you look at some of the people that were speaking over the weekend at AmFest, and even Elon Musk, who, you know, openly admits voting for Barack Obama back in the day, what is this looking? I just don't feel like this is the Republican Party of yesterday. I'm not even sure it may just be the Republican Party in name only.
Yeah, so, you know, and I've had a couple of thoughts on that. The first of which is that the Republican Party of yesterday is something nobody wants back, whether you're a radical conservative, whether you're far, what they call far right, whether you're a moderate. I don't think anybody wants, at this point, if you look at the statistics and the polling data for people like the Cheneys, you know, these sorts of, they say that they're Republican, then they vote completely alternative. Down in Texas, we have the speakership race coming up for the Texas Speaker of the House, and you have several Republicans who are voting for the person who did not win the Republican caucus, who the Republicans do not want, who they're foisting in there, getting Democrat support. And we're all calling and saying, you ran on the Republican platform and you're voting for this guy. So this new Republican Party is one that's less about whether or not you say you're a Republican or whether you pretend to be a Republican, and far more about what you're willing to do for the American people. If you look at Elon Musk, whether he voted for Barack Obama or he didn't, look at what Elon's doing today. Look at the America PAC. Look at the effort that he put in with Starlink during emergency crisis. Elon Musk clearly cares about the American people and about the rights of Americans, and I think that's far more important than what party is moving what direction. Is that the new Republican Party is one that's for the American people.
Are there certain things, though, you know, and again, from a social conservative perspective, I'm wondering if the social conservatives understand, outside of the transgender issue, they've really lost that argument, that fight in the culture right now, and especially within this new hybrid party that we've got.
Yeah, and I will say that, and that's been on the alternative. Of course, there's concerns, and I've told people, I said, you know, right now I'm taking the wins where we can get them, you know, but as somebody who, I don't know if I'd self-describe, but has been described by various people on of course, X, as a radical conservative. Yeah, it's easy to look at the direction the Republican Party is going and saying, while there are certain positives, there's definitely also negatives. And I think on the bright side, looking at the primaries, especially down here in Texas, it's easy to say that the people are shifting further right every year, especially since you're talking about young men. Young men are shifting far more than just Republican. They're shifting farther right. They're shifting more traditional. If you look at the Christianity in the younger generation, they're shifting more devout Christian conservative. And so I'm really excited to see that going. But no, you make a good point, Todd, and that's that the Republican Party of today, sure, it's not part of the military-industrial complex so much, and we're pushing that part out. But on the social conservative side, we're definitely losing the cultural battle. I mean, if you remember, Obama ran on being anti-gay marriage in 2008. I was 6 years old when he ran, and he was anti-gay marriage. And here we are today, and you know, you have Vivek up on stage saying, oh, yeah, we don't care about gay marriage. You can marry whoever you want. And as I've always said on my show, I'm not afraid to say it, you know, all of these liberal issues are symptoms of a disease, and that disease is the rejection, not just of good, or not just of Republican values, but of Christian values. And so as long as we have a Republican Party that's not inherently Christian in name and in action, I think we're going to continue to slip a little bit left. But like I said, on the bright side, I think that the younger generations are trending that direction, and there's a big split there.
You know, it's fascinating you mentioned that. There was a story, I think it was in Sweden, where one of the largest Lutheran churches just sold their building to the Catholics because they're running out of space to put Catholics. And when you mentioned this rise in maybe religion in America, have you noticed that it just seems to be predominantly within the Catholic community and not so much the evangelical community?
It does. And actually, I'm quite frustrated about it. I will say, to a smaller degree than the Catholic side, and even since you bring that up, the Orthodox side as well is growing. The Reformed side of evangelicalism is also growing, not quite as significantly as the Catholic and Orthodox sides. But yeah, the Reformed church is also growing, especially when you take a look at a lot of the people in politics who are coming from Reformed churches. But no, you make an interesting point. And the reason for that, and it actually aligns with kind of some of the stuff that I'm trying to point out, which is that Catholics, one of their big pushes is traditionalism, right? And to some degree, that's positive. Traditionalism is good. And so the reason that I think you're seeing, especially a lot of young men, turn towards Catholicism and Orthodoxy is that you're looking at a rise in young men who, again, have been told for years that traditionalism is bad, traditional masculinity is bad, believing in traditional gender roles is bad. And now the first people to stand up and say, no, we've never believed that has been the Catholic Church. You know, I've tried to post stuff like this on social media and how people call me out on social media and tell me, you know, Michael, we should be preaching the gospel, not this political. And it's I've had to jump in and explain to people, you know, the gospel is about so much and it entails our entire life. The entirety of history is pointing towards Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. And the way that we live our lives should point to that. And, you know, this is why, you know, they try to label you Christian nationalists for pointing out the values that you believe in. But the reality is that if we don't start pushing Christianity as a political tool, which is exactly what it is, it's supposed to impact every area of life, especially our polity, we're going to lose. And I'm as much as I disagree on with Catholicism on a lot of things, I am happy to see that at least somebody who believes in Jesus Christ is heavily pushing a traditional message in today's culture.
Yeah, look, I'm a Southern Baptist, lifelong Southern Baptist, and I'm with you. And I just I think a lot of it also has to do with the theology and the lack of heft coming from our pulpits. People are tired of these self-help sermons and the, you know, the cover bands. I think people are wanting substance. They're wanting theology. And I think they're also wanting structure and tradition, which the Catholic Church certainly provides those things for folks.
You know, I saw a really interesting post the other day that I really liked how it was worded. I'll have to paraphrase, but it said something along the lines of, you know, until we stop demonizing men for saying the same things that most of our churches believed prior to about 50 to 100 years ago, we're not going to get anywhere. And that's the truth. It's that, you know, even if you read people from not so long ago, if you read C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia series, the guy was what today would be called a radical politician. The things that he believed about politics, masculinity, and traditionality would be considered radical and extremist by the media, even by many in the Republican Party. And until the church is willing to stand up and be willing to be called radical and extreme, I don't think we're going to get anywhere.
I think it's an interesting point you bring up. And again, I think we're going back. It's almost like we're going back to the late 1940s, early 50s, that era after World War II, where there was this really excitement about life, about freedom, liberty. We had just survived World War II. And I see Donald Trump as being the victor over these culture wars. And now we're about to enter a new era of American history.
Yeah, and like you say, on the bright side, one thing that is very encouraging to me is that if you look at the flips in the polling data for people that are Generation Z, and you look at the direction that the right is going in Generation Z, the direction they're heading in terms of devout Christianity or how far right they're voting, one thing that's very encouraging to me is that while we all love Donald Trump, also a lot of us are very much in tune with deciding that the direction the Republican Party needs to move is right. If you look on social media, you'll see it all over from young people. If you talk to people at America Fest, you'll find the same thing. I have a lot of friends that go every single year, and all of them single-handedly have started putting Christian nationalists in their bios on social media because they say if they're going to use that term to refer to anybody who believes that the right should be compiled of true Christianity like the founders intended, that's exactly where my generation is headed, Todd, and I'm very excited that we elected Donald Trump, and I'm very excited to see where the Republican Party goes, especially with J.D. Vance as vice president. The guy is incredibly based.
Big time. Michael, where can people go if they want to follow you on the socials?
Yeah, absolutely. My biggest social media is definitely X. That's where I talk the most. I never shut up. You can find me at Sir Michael Will. That's S-I-R Michael Will. If you want to catch my show, you can download the Patriot Talk 920 app. I'm 6 to 8 right now, Todd, but come the new year, I'm switching 7 to 9. I'm getting that slightly better time slot. It'll be a good time. Get that extra hour of sleep.
It's a great time. You're going to love it. All right, Michael Wilson, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Todd, and a Happy New Year.
All right, that's Michael Wilson, everybody. Hosts a great show, morning show, over on Patriot Talk 920. In Houston, Texas, which also happens to be our affiliate. So we especially love those guys. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. BT in Memphis, listening to us on KWAM wants to weigh in on this new Republican Party. Hi, PT, what you got for us?
God bless you and your family. God bless America. God bless this new revived Republican Party. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud to be in it. That's where I'll be voting from now on. The thing about another thing, if you're always being and got children now, grandchildren too, we never had to be worried about our kids. But every kind of freak and pervert is coming out the closet now. And it's a sad thing, you know.
BT, what was it for you that brought you to the Republican Party?
Barack Obama.
Wow. So thank you. Thank you, Barack Obama.
I threw you a curve, didn't I?
I'm not terribly surprised. But again, it's, you know, I think, BT, a lot of people are waking up and they're realizing, you know, we've got more in common than we have in our differences. And I think a lot of Donald Trump was able to demonstrate that. And it really was a big tent coalition of bringing in those, you know, former Democrats, bringing in the union guys. Everybody chipped in and won this for Donald Trump. And I think it's going to be a fascinating time in American history and really world history over the next 4 years. BT, I got to run. We are super late for a break. 901-260-5926. Going to the phones when we come back. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
All right, let's go to the phones. Ron in Salem, Oregon, KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
Merry Christmas, my brother. You know, I'm a delegate now by acclamation for Polk County in the Republican Party, so I ain't playing no games. Two, what they're going after Matt Gaetz, they went after Madison Cawthorn and others in the Republican Party, these rhinos like McConnell's and them. They're trying to destroy but keep their notoriety and power, just like Pharisees they did against Jesus. Three, we need to get a backbone, stop trying to grip, stop using Trump's name, go on to his parties and everything else, and yet they won't stand on the issues that will give me my jobs back. Cut my price of the wood down from $35 for an 8-foot piece in California at my buddy Holly Cracker Daddy's house in California. And get, let's be manufacturing, not go through and have a billion board freight shipped to Oregon from Western Europe and claim that they're doing the Green New scam that 158 countries not doing. We need that fire. I need some lions, not sheep. And we need, and with the Lord with us, ever since the tilting of the head, we've seen the flop is flipping. The truth is coming out of the liars. The hyenas are rather running. And yet, people ain't buying it. And thank God for the hand of Jesus upon our younger generation that giving us, starting to give us a backbone that's starting to learn the history. And we need to get back to schooling of the Constitution in our class by school.
Well, we do. Everything you say is accurate, Ron, and we're coming up on a break here, so I hate to let you go. But, I mean, it's a great point. And I think it's also important for people to remember, because you're going to have a lot of folks now groveling and coming back to Donald Trump. These people were anti-Trump from day one, and now they want a job in the White House, and we've got to make sure that it doesn't happen. Got to. We only need America First conservatives in the White House. Oh, by the way, this whole thing about the Panama Canal Zone, understand this. I know Panama is pushing back and they're saying, no, it's ours. No, the American people, and specifically American men, built the Panama Canal. American men died for the Panama Canal. And when Jimmy Carter, by the way, that was the moment that my dad became a Republican. When Jimmy Carter sold the Panama Canal for a dollar, that was it. But it's not Panama that's operating this. It's China. That's what's going on here. China is taking control of the Panama Canal Zone. And when that happens, it puts us in danger. So Trump is doing, I think Trump is absolutely, is doing the right thing here. And we ought to give him the dollar back. That's, I'm just telling you. Good for you, Mr. President. So how do you folks feel about this whole new modern-day Monroe Doctrine? Should we take over Greenland? President Trump says we need it. It's strategy. What about Canada? What about northern Mexico? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, for crying out loud. Ben Dieter, I'm trying to enjoy a little bologna sandwich, and you send me this photograph. What is this of the White House? This is the interns, right?
Yeah.
This looks like a freak show. So you've got a lot of kids. A lot of them are not familiar with their pronouns. But right in the front row is this Asian dude. And he's wearing a form-fitted dress, and it's bulging where a lady should not bulge.
And it's not like a dress that you would see, you know, on the prairie, like a prairie dress. It's skin tight. Think Fox News host of a show tight. And it's like very girly, like not a woman's dress. Like, I'm not advocating any guy wear a dress, but if you do, at least get one that fits. This looks like it could be like American Girl doll clothes.
This is just not appropriate office wear, right? In the White House. But then you had the bald dude, the bald dude wearing the dresses and stole all the luggage.
Well, I mean, during Trans Visibility Month, you had the one.
They're pretty visible.
They straight up took off all clothing. So I guess, you know, in college, which was not that long ago for me, everybody wanted a White House internship. The standard of becoming a White House intern, I mean, that's a pinnacle of a college kid's career. And so for the standard, the decorum to be so low that a dude could wear a chick's dress, I mean, what have we fallen to?
May I just say, I've noticed there's not a lot of diversity in the White House intern pool. I see a lot of
There's a lot of wheelchairs, Todd.
Oh, they're on the front row. Oh, that's right. You've got the front row is very diverse. You've got your minorities, the dude with his woohoo showing. You've got the handicapped person. Oh, yeah, that's.
So it is very diverse. No, you're wrong.
There you go. All right. Merry Christmas. All I can say is they need to bring in a hazmat team after they leave. Before they enter the White House, they need to get some wet wipes.
Yeah, I see like three dudes in that shot. Like maybe three dudes max, White House interns.
All right. 901-260-5926. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're honored to have back with us a great member of the city council there, Joanne Areola. And Joanne, appreciate you joining us again today.
It's such an honor to be back.
So I want to talk about this the situation that happened on the F train. And I'm curious, Joanne, because we saw what looked to be at least two men in uniform appearing to be NYPD officers who just walked by and didn't do anything. And I'm trying to help this woman who was on fire. Are you hearing anything about that? Can you give us any intel on that?
I think that it was one of those kind of emergency moments where people were screaming. There was a woman on fire. Police had responded. there are rumors that the actual perpetrator of this crime was sitting on a bench watching. They moved him out of the way, and things were happening in real time. And unfortunately, the woman, you know, was a fatal attack on her. And, but the man ultimately was taken into custody.
And we understand now that he had previously been deported, got back into the country, and was living at some sort of a shelter there in New York City. Is that right?
Well, you know, thank you, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and, you know, thank God for President Trump being reelected. Otherwise, we'd be seeing more of this. And now with our city officials meeting with Tom Homan, I think that we're going to see less and less of this. These criminals will be detained and deported. I mean, he's a second-time offender here. He came into our country twice, illegally committed crimes, and now committed murder.
And now your governor yesterday, this is just bizarre. Kathy Hochul posted a video boasting about how safe the subway system is. Let's take a listen to that.
I'm on the subway train heading out to Queens Center. I have a lot of, not quite last minute, but I have holiday shopping to do. I've got an adorable 2-year-old granddaughter, so it's a lot more fun to shop. I can take the subway wherever we need to go. And I want all New Yorkers to feel safe, which is why we've added so many more National Guard, over 250 more people that'll make sure that your ride is as safe as it can be.
Councilwoman, what is the governor smoking? Good Lord.
Who is she kidding? She takes the subway? She's surrounded by police officers and in a detail car all the time. All she wants to do is perpetrate a false narrative for her unfair tax called congestion pricing. And she's now all of a sudden putting the guard, the National Guard, inside the subway system. You don't do that unless you know that the subway system is unsafe. As a governor, if you think the subway system is safe and that transit and NYPD have it in hand, you're not bringing down the National Guard. She's lying. She's trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And hopefully we can bring this to a judge's attention and this ends. She is dedicated to making sure that this unfair tax goes into effect on January 6th, not caring that people will take a subway system where they can be shot, stabbed, and now lit on fire.
I wonder how much of the response may have, you know, this Daniel Penny case may have factored into it, where you had a guy that stood up and did the right thing and ended up going on trial for his life. There are so many mixed messages coming out of the government in New York City right now.
I think it has an effect on everyone. People will think 3, 4, 5 times before they get involved because of the Daniel Penny case. The fact that that jury got it right doesn't mean that the next jury will get it right, and people can lose their freedom. They can also lose their lives, and their family loses a loved one, all because Kathy Hochul and the administration is not attending to the real matter at hand, which is mental illness, number one. Number two, criminals who came from other countries illegal into our city to commit crimes, who are mentally ill, who came from prisons, who came from mental institutions, who are coming here with the intent to harm. And until they address that, we are never going to be able to go on those subway cars safely.
No.
And all Kathy Hochul wants to do is put on rose-colored glasses and tell you, it's fine, don't worry, take the subway. But all she wants is that tax on New Yorkers, knowing that no one will take that subway and will pay the congestion pricing unfairly.
You had a couple of stabbings over the weekend on the subway. I think there was a shooting on the subway. And then, of course, this horrifying thing. You really do have to wonder if this is going to jolt New Yorkers into understanding elections have consequences, especially on the local level.
Kathy Hochul should take a look at the 2024 results, because it will be the same for her seat in 26. She will not be reelected because of the choices that she's making. And that's what I look forward to. I look forward to a change at the gubernatorial mansion on the second floor of the executive offices in Albany, and that will make the change that we need here in the city and the state.
I'm curious. We had Luigi Mangione in court today in New York. None of his family were there, but they had about 24 women who were waiting for public seats in the courtroom, many of them wearing face masks. Many of them appeared to be quite emotional. And then the guy's attorney, it looked like they were dressed alike, you know, with the sweater and the white shirt. It was a very weird scene there.
Well, listen, this has been going on for years where women just fall in love with criminals, whether it's Bundy or any other serial killer. They fall in love with them. They marry them. You know, this is just another part of a mental illness. And the fact that they would come in masks, dressed the same way, it shows that there's something wrong here. And because anyone in their right mind would not be doing this. This man gunned down someone in cold blood on the street. Look, the reasons are still unraveling, but a person is dead. And there was a manifesto that went along with why that person is dead. Mm. So again, you're looking at another person who has mental illness. Mental illness is at the crux of all these issues and illegal migration.
Joanne, we got to leave it there. Always appreciate your great insight. And let's just hope and pray that public safety is at the forefront of the mayor's office moving forward here. And I'm excited about what Tom Homan is going to do. I know he's got to take a quick trip to Chicago to root out the illegals there, but I have no doubt that he'll be getting things under, you know, squared away in New York City.
Absolutely, and I hope that President Trump gets really involved in his congestion pricing. He knows New York City, and he knows that's no good for New York City.
All right.
You have a wonderful holiday season.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Councilwoman Joanne Areola represents Southern Queens. They've got a good couple of good conservatives there on the Isn't that weird, though? I was looking at the courtroom scene, and Mangione's attorney, Mangione is wearing khaki pants, a burgundy sweater, and a white open-collar shirt, and so is the female attorney. What's up with that? That is, I'm getting creep vibes.
Did you see when they perp-walked the guy into New York? The scene, it looked like something from a supervillain movie.
Like Batman. Like,
yeah.
This was Bane coming back to Gotham City.
I mean, come on. Half of this is theatrics. The way that they did that, yeah, in front of the camera, Luigi is flashing his jawline. I'm just shocked. Well, he's handcuffed. He didn't show his abs. I mean, people are falling all over themselves for a deranged, alleged lunatic. What is wrong with these people? I agree with the councilwoman. They have mental disorders if they like this guy.
I want to play some audio. Speaking of mental disorders, Joy Reid over at MSDNC, she has some things to say about all of you white people out there, and I'm curious to get your take on this. I mean, Ben, you're a white guy, and you're from Pennsylvania, so you're really white.
I churn butter.
Well, there you go. It's an Amish thing. And anyway, Joy Reid has some things to say about all of you white folk.
Gotta be honest and keep it real. This is not the pick that I expected that she would make. It did come down to the final three, as we understand it. And I thought she would go astronaut. Keeping it real. He, to me, would have been the safest, most conventionally safe pick. White, super white, like, you know, mayonnaise sandwich on Wonder Bread, right? From the, you know, from a border state, he could have made a strong argument for her.
All right. What is super white? What does that mean?
Miracle Whip white.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mayonnaise white.
Miracle Whip.
Well, mayonnaise is kind of yellow.
But do white people actually eat mayonnaise on Wonder Bread? Is that true? Mm. I mean, that would be like asking if, you know, I don't know, if you're a minority, do you eat brown mustard on, you know, whole wheat bread?
On a rye bread.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
I didn't know we ate bread that matched our skin color.
Well, you see, she could be onto something there. I don't eat dark meat on my chicken. Does that make me a racist? I prefer the white meat.
I also prefer white turkey.
Yeah, so you don't eat the dark meat?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
No, because the white meat has more protein and it's more lean.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that
and
is
I
racist.
Like marshmallows.
Oh, that is definitely racist. So do you prefer dark chocolate or do you like the diluted milk chocolate?
Oh, I love white chocolate. You have no idea. Chocolate. I only eat white chocolate.
White chocolate?
White chocolate, white marshmallows, wow. White milk. I like.
Wow.
And I like white bread. I don't know what that says about me.
You are super white.
Yeah.
Do you listen to Barry Manilow? Engelbert Humperdinck? Lawrence Welk? What exactly? I'm curious now. What is a super white person? And by the way, how does this racist woman have a job on national television? That's what I want to know. I can't imagine I can't imagine Sean Hannity having this conversation about brown mustard and eating dark meat at Thanksgiving. Jeez. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Have you heard about this story out of Virginia? We've got the photos over on our social media pages. Arlington, Virginia. This family was just out there having their little Christmas celebration, and Ben Teeter, all of a sudden, right out of the fireplace, came a big hoot owl, like a wild owl. And this sucker, it's a pretty darn good owl there.
Thank you.
So anyway, it's a this owl was apparently trying to get warm and flew into the chimney and through the fireplace and ended up in the kitchen, and it perched itself above the cupboards, and then the hoot owl, they call it a wild barred owl, the owl saw the Christmas tree, and that owl took off like a beeline to the top of the Christmas tree. It had the little Bethlehem star on top. Owl knocks the star out of the way and plops itself right there on the top of the tree. Kind of felt like he was king of the world.
Yeah, well, he was.
And it's all captured on video, or I wouldn't have believed it, because that owl, it looked like a fake owl in the pictures. That's a big old bird.
What did they do?
Well, they called, they have animal welfare. Yeah, animal welfare league. And they came out and they go, oh, yeah, this is not a big deal. This is pretty normal. I'm like, you're kidding me. But apparently it is very normal. And this time of year, a lot of these critters will get into the chimneys trying to stay warm. And sometimes they end up in the house.
Oh, well, I also saw the story, and this, I guess, is your pro tip of the day. But animal welfare officials are reminding all homeowners to keep a lid over their chimney. But then I'm thinking, well, what about Santa?
Well, Santa can lift the lid, I guess, and hop down.
But if there's a big old lid over the chimney, that makes it just difficult.
You see,
you need easy access to that Christmas tree.
I've never been able to stay awake long enough as a kid to see Santa actually come down the chimney, which was difficult because we didn't have a chimney as a kid. So
how did he make entry?
So that's the question here. Does Santa really come down the chimney, or is it magical where he just like, he's in the sled 1 minute and then poof, he magically appears.
Oh, he comes down the chimney. I saw him 1 year.
Oh, really?
I did.
All right. Was it fat guy?
At least 450.
Oh, wow. That's a chunky
guy. He was a porky Lord. Santa Claus.
No wonder the reindeer are always
in a
bad
chimney.
Mood.
We had a big old chimney. So he fat.
My question, by the way, did you ever leave something out for Santa Claus?
Yeah, I did. But
what'd you leave?
I made him some gluten-free cookies.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not kidding you. I'm gluten-free, not because I have to be, but because Lord. They say it's better. So some gluten-free cookies and some kefir.
Kefir. Is that like reefer? Like you smoke it?
Go to your local grocery store and ask for some kefir.
No. Is that one of those things in the milk section that's really not milk?
Yeah.
It's like fake white juice?
Mm-hmm.
This drives me nuts.
My Santa is fat. I'm putting him on a diet.
I can't. No, you don't want to do that. Santa's supposed to be fat. So here's the thing. I go to the. I was trying to find some milk the other day, and you can't find any anymore because they have like the almond. They have almond milk and oatmeal milk, or it's disgusting.
Peppermint milk. Santa loves peppermint.
Just give us, you know what? Give us white milk and chocolate milk.
Owl milk.
That's all you need. Or some Yoo-Hoo. All right. Watch out for those owls and squirrels, too, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starts radio show. Matt Gaetz is live tweeting his responses to the House ethics report that it didn't come out. It was leaked. CBS News got a copy of it first, and now all you know what? There's chaos in Washington. And look, Gaetz is right to be upset that this thing leaked out. The reality is he was never charged with a crime, but he is admitting to a lot of the stuff in there. One of the things, I've got to read this to you, Ben Dieter, to get your thought. Matt Gaetz, you know, this idea that, you know, and he admits that he gave money to women.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, giving funds to someone you are dating that they did not ask for and that isn't charged for sex is now prostitution. I'm not sure that's a good, you know, maybe it's good not to tweet today. Just let it go. He says, there's a reason they did this to me in a Christmas Eve report. And not in a courtroom. And I get that. He's absolutely right. He says, not in a courtroom of any kind where I could present evidence and challenge witnesses. And this is the testimony from one of the alleged prostitutes that you won't see in the report. Quote, I never charged anyone anything. Like I said, it was just given. I'm assuming talking about the money.
Are they alleging that they're prostitutes or he's alleging that they're just women? They're girlfriends.
I mean, the insinuation is, okay, why else would you pay a woman, you know, for companionship?
And I don't know. I've never done it.
Again, nothing. He has not been charged with a crime, period. I would have just called it a tip, maybe. I don't know. It's
you can't. You can do that. Yeah, you can do that.
Very generous. But it's not, yeah. Because these are, again, the
this is defamation. I think this is what they're.
It's defamation for not only Matt Gaetz but for the ladies, mm-hmm, who may just be good wholesome church girls. You know that, you know.
Yeah, it's expensive to go get dinner.
Time.
Yeah, it's, you know, $700.
Bruce Chris is not cheap.
No, it is not.
Anyway, over the weekend, huge turnout in Arizona for AmFest, and our next guest was there, Mary Margaret Olihan, a senior reporter for Daily Wire. Mary Margaret, good to have you with us today.
Hello, and Merry Christmas, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas. So they're calling it Conservative Coachella. Is that a thing? Is that what they're calling it?
That is what they were calling it, and honestly, it was very fitting. This was probably the biggest student event I've ever attended. I think at the end of the day, there were around 20,000 young people who showed up for this event in Phoenix, Arizona, partially because President Donald Trump spoke on the last day. And just the level of excitement and energy, it was so fun to be there and to see all these young people. And, you know, there were some older, you know, there were mothers there.
Careful now.
Well.
Careful, Mary Margaret.
It was just really cool to see the different variety of people that were there, but then a very strong younger presence. In fact, I went to Mass on a Saturday night, and the church was completely full of these students to the point where the priest commented on it and said, this event must be pretty awesome because there's so many of you that are here. So just a really cool, very energetic event with lots of influential speakers and lawmakers and commentators, and it was great to be a part of it.
I know that you and Cabot Phillips had a chance to sit down with Charlie Kirk. What was that conversation like?
Yeah, that was really interesting. So Charlie was talking to us kind of about the evolution of these Turning Point events. I think he said that the first one that they put on had around 100 or maybe a little more students, and now here they are with 20,000, which is insane. And we also had a chance to kind of talk to him about the future of the Republican Party and where things are headed. He talked to us about some of the lawmakers that he would like to primary, given their lack of support for Trump and his nominees, and we'll have a clip about that that I'm going to be posting on my social media shortly. But he also said, look, you know, there's so much energy, there's so much excitement, everyone's so excited that Trump won and is about to be in office, but we got to not let that energy go. You know, we need to be forward-thinking, we need to be acting aggressively. And I will say, Cabot asked him about rumors that he was going to run for governor of Arizona, and he did put those to bed. So that's a great, interesting, informative interview, and Charlie, of course, is spearheading this whole event. I don't know where he finds the time or the energy, but he was chipper, and it was a great interview.
Where does the movement go from here? You've got groups like Young America's Foundation, and I would say they are more, I mean, they're very conservative, but I think you would almost say they were more establishment conservative. And then you have Turning Point USA. Is it fair to call them a conservative group, or is it more of a populist or a fusion? What was your sense of the vibe there?
Well, I certainly wouldn't attempt to speak for Turning Point on what they would describe themselves as. However, as a reporter from the outside, I can tell you they're definitely a conservative group, but they're not willing to go along with the flow of, you know, what's going on in D.C. And that's very apparent. You know, there's a lot of groups that are very financially tied to what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I would say that Turning Point seems really interested in the future of the country and in what Donald Trump wants. And Charlie Kirk has been really great about being very open about these things and his conversations about politics and where things are headed. You know, Media Matters is making fun of him for having access to Trump and being able to talk to him. But I think the reason for that is that they know that he's a very influential person. And even conservatives who try and criticize Charlie are doing it for the same reason, is that he has Trump's ear and he has a massive movement behind him. And they're making a huge difference in voter turnout and in the way that young Americans are looking at politics. So I'm very encouraged by what I saw there. I think, you know, obviously this is a ongoing movement, an ongoing growing cohort of young people, but they're very inspired and they're very motivated, and they loved all of the speakers that were there. And that's really, it's a testament to Turning Point and the work that they put into making these figures more high profile, more well known, and to getting these kids to these places. You know, not everyone can afford to go to Phoenix, Arizona, but Turning Point helps make that happen, and I think that's really awesome.
It's really a phenomenal movement, and there is no doubt that this helped move the needle, and I think really mobilize and energize young people across the country, specifically young men. And I'm curious about the numbers. Would you say, was it evenly split between guys and gals, or were there more young guys there?
You know, I don't have the exact numbers on it, but it did seem to have a pretty evenly split amount of young men versus women there. And in fact, one thing that I found really interesting, Todd, that I wanted to highlight was that the Conservator, it's this women's publication online that's done a very good job of talking about politics in a very aesthetic and beautiful way. They had a speed dating event, and they, at this event, at the Turning Point conference, all of these young people were able to come in and meet each other, which is such an important thing because, you know, we have absolutely a cultural problem and a cultural crisis with dating and young people meeting and finding suitable spouses. So it was just an awesome way to connect all these like-minded kids who might meet their spouse at a Turning Point event. So I'm very interested in hearing how that played out.
So you could meet your mate at Turning Point.
I think that's what they're saying. And, you know, I would not be surprised if it was true, especially given, you know, the amount of faith-based events that were also going on there. And then, of course, all these young people are really convicted. That's why they're there. And Charlie has made a point of encouraging young people to get married and to not waste valuable years of their lives without being in a committed relationship. So, you know, this is This is definitely something that Turning Point is invested in, and I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
And a couple of years, they had to have like a little nursery there, you know, to the little the little Charlie Kirks or something. I don't know, what are they going to call them? Little Turning Points? Oh, by the way, I have to ask you, Barry Barkin, I got to ask you. This is just you and me, and just forget about the millions of people listening right now. Were you there for the big throwdown between Laura Loomer and Milo Yiannopoulos?
I missed it. I unfortunately missed it.
Yes. Oh, it was something else. It's on X. You got to go watch it. It was insane.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to catch that. There were so many insane moments throughout it. I mean, the amount of high profile speakers that were there. I mean, of course, I'm with Daily Wire, so I was very excited about Ben Shapiro and Michael Knoll speaking. And then Cabot and I were having a lot of fun interviewing some of these figures at our booth. My favorite was Tom Homan, who I have to say, this man is the godfather of the border business. He means business, and he has such determination when you talk to him. I'm very excited to see what how he executes his plans, because he is a dead serious man, and he's not messing around.
No, they're going to exactly. He's going to make an offer they can't refuse. So
exactly.
All right. Well, Mary Margaret, well done. Tell Cabot we said hello and hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
All right. Mary Margaret Olihan, great senior reporter for the Daily Wire, great patriot there. So, you know, Ben Dieter, years ago when I forget which book I was writing, I would always go to the Marriott Hotel in downtown Brooklyn. Beautiful hotel, and it's just a fun lobby to write in. And they had a big lounge, and it's just really a great setting. So every Tuesday, they would have speed dating for Jews, Orthodox Jews. And so I walked in, and I stumbled over. One day, I looked up from I was writing, and I was surrounded by all these Jewish couples. And I went over to the concierge. I'm like, oh, is there a convention going on? He goes, no, this is speed dating. And what they do is I didn't mean to listen in, but you couldn't help but listen in. You know, they kind of talked in hushed tones, but it was very matter of fact. It was kind of like what was apparently going on at Turning Point USA.
Wow.
And the guy would be like, well, you know, I'm a shoemaker. And so my dad owns a shoemaking business, and I'll be able to provide us a good income. And the prospective bride would be, well, I make a good brisket and I know how to, you know, clean house. I mean, they were just going through their bona fides. You know, and I thought it was very fascinating to watch, but they kept it within the community.
You didn't try your hand at it?
No.
You kept your head down and wrote your book.
Yeah, I kind of reeked of you know, pork, so
yeah,
that's not
you
kosher.
You would have been passed, yeah.
Yeah, that's not kosher.
Yeah, I wonder what the success rate of that was.
It's a great question. And again, I think to that point, you know, it's hard if you're on a university campus, especially, I have to imagine, you know, it's kind of hard to find Mr. or Mrs. Conservative, you know, on some of these public university campuses.
Yeah.
However, you and I went to Christian schools.
Well, continue your thought.
And we have a phrase.
Ring by spring.
So, yeah.
There was no issue there.
By
spring, baby by, well, hopefully fall. If it was before fall, you knew something wasn't matching up with the timeline.
It was a preemie.
If they dropped out of school very promptly and soon thereafter there was a baby announcement, they were not following the tenets of said Christian university.
We had a situation like that. And they told us, they were trying to say that the baby came early.
Oh.
I'm like, that's a 12-pound baby.
If that baby is a preemie, that is one massive baby.
But I kind of like this because, again, it's just you have like-minded people. But anyway, yeah, that's, you know, again, if you
need a dating app, because I don't know how comfortable I would be with speed dating. I did it in college a couple times. It was fun. Never turned out to be anything, but you're right. On like Tinder or Bumble or Hinge, on your preferred likes, what you enjoy. I mean, it's so bent liberal, Todd, that some of the categories, you know, back in the day, it'd be like, what do you guys like to do? Run, crochet, knit. Well,
you crochet?
No, I'm just saying that would have been like categories back in the day. Now it's like pro-choice. I'm like, that's not a hobby. Trans rights, that's not a passion. What are we talking about? So that's how these dating apps are framed now. So it makes it very difficult for conservatives to
and
date.
That's fair enough, because you may think you're going out with a girl, but you know it could be like the Asian intern. That's unfortunate. All right, we got to take a break. What do you think about this idea of conservative dating? What is basically a conservative mingle at Turning Point?
Yeah.
All right. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Very happy to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I got a question for you. Do you know somebody in your neighborhood that does the whole Christmas? They go all out for Christmas? Like, you know, the lights, the inflatable Santa Claus. Do they do the light shows? There is a story from Rockland, California. That's a suburb of Sacramento. And there's a big problem with a local homeowner for a number of years. He has been decorating his home, and it's pretty spectacular. 15,000 lights, and get this, Ben Dieter, 85 Santa Clauses. 85 Santa Clauses on the front lawn. So now city leaders want this guy to unplug his light display.
Why? Is this disturbing?
Well, they say that apparently some of the Santa Clauses are on city property, and therefore he has to take down the whole exhibit. And if he doesn't, he could face hundreds of dollars in fines. And then the Homeowners Association got involved, and those people are evil. I would rather hang out with Democrats than people who are in charge of a Homeowners Association. Mm-hmm. I just can't stand it. They're power hungry.
They love the letter of the law.
Oh, they do. They're the kings. They're the king of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's their claim to fame. So now they're saying, well, his display is also violating a noise ordinance. So a bunch of people found out, and so they had hundreds of people turn out in front of the poor guy's house, and they started singing Christmas carols.
In solidarity. Of course they did. And I bet half of them were all kids.
Oh, no doubt.
Who love going to this man's home every year.
I mean, it was a bit gaudy, but you know what? It's Christmas time.
What is the city doing? I think they're just jealous, and they're being showed up by one homeowner in the town.
By the way, Germantown, my city I live in, people are really upset because all the decorations are very muted, as in there aren't many, and people are upset about it.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, well, I just don't, you know, it is what it is. It's not like Germantown, Tennessee is the North Pole where you have the candy canes everywhere.
It's first world problems.
Clearly.
I mean, I'm lucky if I literally can make it from my apartment to my garage. Such a war zone.
Yeah. Every time the wind blows, the lights go out. Maybe we can focus on that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I feel bad for this guy because the homeowner said, okay, I'm done here. I can't keep going through this. So he's pulling the plug, and he says they will no longer be doing the Christmas display in Rockland, California.
Bring it to Tennessee. They'll allow you to have
it. Hey, bring it to Germantown City Hall. Put up the baby Jesus and everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us on this Christmas Eve. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I was watching a new show over on Paramount. It's called Landman, and Billy Bob Thornton is the star of it. It's a fun story for adults only, about the oil industry in Texas. And the guys who are working those oil rigs. Anyway, there was a scene. It is it's really sort of a punch in the face to the woke crowd. So there was a moment during last night's episode where they're in one of the local diners, the local watering holes, and they're ordering their chicken fried steak. And she said, what are your sides? And they said, do you want mashed potatoes or French fries? And they said both. And so the waitress, her name is Ellie, she says, oh, I see. So you're getting your vitamins out of the gravy tonight. But that wasn't the funny part. It's really a funny show. There was a moment where she asked what the guys were having to drink. And then she says, hey, guys, we're having a special on Bud Light. Billy Bob Thornton's character says, I bet you are. And says, how's that working out for you? She says, selling Bud Light is like a popcorn fart in church. It doesn't go over very well. Anyway, it's worth a watch. It's really a guy's kind of a show. But I think you would really enjoy it. By the way, President Trump yesterday announcing during his speech at AmFest that we're going back to the belief that's in the Holy Bible, in the book of Genesis, that God made male and female, and that's it. And he's going to put an end to all of this transgender lunacy. Cut number four.
With the stroke of my pen on day one, we're going to stop the transgender lunacy. And I will sign executive orders to end child sexual mutilation, get transgender out of the military and out of our elementary schools and middle schools and high school. And we will keep men out of women's sports. And that will likewise be done on day one. Should I do day one, day two, or day three? How about day one, right?
Wow, good.
Under the Trump administration, it will be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Well, I'm glad to hear the president say this. It's sad that the president has to say this. But again, folks, we are turning to normalcy in America. And this is going to be jarring for a lot of these crazy nut jobs out there. And there are a lot of them. But the idea that you can, if you're a boy, you think you can be a girl, that used to land you in a hospital. Because that meant that you had some sort of a mental issue. And it wasn't too terribly long ago. So I'm glad to hear the president say this. It is going to be an ugly fight, folks. These things are not going to happen just automatically. President Trump's going to be fighting for them. And he's going to need to make sure that we've got his back. And on this program, we've got the president's back. We do. So President Biden is pretty much empty in the prisons. That's what he's doing here. There were 40 people on federal death row. As of today, there are only three left because of Biden turning those death row death sentences into life sentences. The three people still on death row: Dylan Roof, the guy who shot up the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church; Jokar Tsarnaev, the Boston Marathon bomber, and Robert Bowers, the guy who shot up the Tree of Life Synagogue. Those are the folks that are left. But I'm telling you, what Joe Biden did today, sparing the lives of some very evil people, murderers who targeted a sailor and young girls and law enforcement, they all got sympathy from Joe Biden today. The president announcing, this is from Fox News, that he commuted the sentences of 37 of the 40 inmates on federal death row to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Biden says he is more convinced than ever that we have to stop the use of the death penalty at the federal level. Really? Did he say that? This is the statement that Biden allegedly said. Make no mistake, I condemn these murderers, grieve for the victims of their despicable acts, and ache for all the families who have suffered unimaginable and irreparable loss. Do you believe that Joe Biden has the mental faculties necessary to write a statement like that, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, according to the Wall Street Journal, Joe Biden's brain is basically turned to butter. Among those who have been spared are Jorge Torres, a Marine veteran found guilty of killing Navy Petty Officer Second Class Amanda Snell inside of her barracks in Arlington, Virginia. Also, Crystal Tobias and her friend Laura Hobbs, one 9 years old, the other 8, were killed by Jorge Torres in Zion, Illinois. Another inmate spared by Biden is Daryl Lawrence, who was convicted of killing a Columbus police officer, Brian Hurst, in 2005. By the way, Officer Hurst received posthumously the Medal of Valor. And what, these sickos? We gotta feed and house and clothe these guys for the rest of their lives now? Unbelievable what's going on. But this is where we are, folks, and we can only pray that January the 20th gets here and gets here quickly. By the way, did you see it? There was a map on the socials. This is fascinating. You know all these UFO sightings? It's interesting because 99% of these UFO sightings are on American soil, including Hawaii and Alaska. 99% of them. So what's going on there? You know, it's almost as if that story has disappeared. But we're still getting reports of the sightings. I know over the weekend in Memphis, they said there was a huge light show up in the skies. They're telling us that it may have been some sort of a Chinese satellite that was burning up. But a lot of people in the Memphis area, a lot of people in New Orleans and across the southeastern United States saw that. Oh, by the way, where's Dylan? Dylan, I have a question for you.
Hello.
Can we talk about the college football playoffs?
We can, yeah.
I am in a state of mourning. And only because I told Caleb Park that we were going to be mortal enemies. You know, he's a big Ohio State guy.
Ah.
Man, it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't.
What happened?
I think the cold got to him.
Well, there are a couple of really bad calls.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But still, we got our butts handed to us.
Have you noticed that with the other games, too, that have already happened? Those
terrible.
They got destroyed.
It was not entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Any of the games this weekend.
I think it should be 8 teams. Let's just keep
go back to 8.
It.
Yeah, keep it short.
Next year, it's going to be 4 teams. If we're back.
Well, the problem is, and, you know, a lot of these guys are not even going to be playing. Like we have the Liberty Bowl, and I think a lot of the Arkansas players are going off to whatever.
They're either opting out for the transfer portal or they're going to be in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
It is.
None of these bowl games matter to these kids anymore because they're not in the playoffs.
I hear it was, look, here's what got me is, first of all, Tennessee has the best fans in all of college football. We had like 40,000 Tennesseans snatched up the ticket. It was that they were talking about that at length during the ESPN game. By the way, what was up with the filthy mouths of the commentators? People were really upset about that.
Yeah.
A couple of things we can't repeat on radio.
Some bias going on.
Well, they were shocked by the number of orange shirts that were in the crowd. Anyway, it wasn't pretty. At the end, they used Rocky Top to heckle us, to troll us.
It's sad. I think they'll bounce back. Got a good quarterback.
Yeah, we're getting information, though, this coming in. We'll try to verify this, that Smokey, our beloved mascot, has apparently entered the portal after.
They're going to get a cat?
It's not good. There's a lot of frustration on Rocky Top. They're literally calling. This is great. They're literally calling for Coach Heupel to be whacked.
They want him out of there. I don't like that because he's a good coach.
He is a good coach.
I don't like that.
We'll see how all that plays out.
Yep.
Who do you think's got, who do you have for the national championship?
I would love for a team like Boise State to make it the whole way, because you just don't see teams like that. I think the Heisman favorite is on that team, who I would have picked as the Heisman. But in all reality, I'm thinking either Texas or Oregon.
Yeah, I'm not. Georgia hasn't been playing solid, you know, consistently good games. Yep. But if Georgia could pull off a good win, then maybe they could do it.
That would be a great game, though.
Mm, it would be a great game. So, man, we'll Tennessee broke my heart. And there were some really inappropriate T-shirts in the Ohio crowd about Dolly Parton. I'm just...
Nasty fans.
They very unpleasant people up there. Another thing, and this is something to consider. Look, it was 25 freaking degrees. 25 degrees.
Yeah.
We're not used to playing in that kind of cold.
No, I think your quarterback's from like Hawaii. He's really not used to playing other than 60.
No, it's not good. It's not good. All right, we got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. Let's go to the phones on this Christmas Eve Eve. Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Patty, Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Vin, Cassie, the whole, you guys are great. I love you. Todd, you're the best, man. I'm going to miss you for a while, because when are you coming back, Todd?
Oh, I'll be back later this week.
Okay. All right, that's great, because I'm going to miss you, and the Christmas music's going to drive me crazy. I ain't listening to that. But I'm going to say something about the commuting with Joe Biden. I think it's disgraceful, and I don't think he did it. I don't think he signed that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Patty. I don't think he did it. I don't think he has the mental capacity to do it. It's whoever these far leftists are that are running this administration, and they're ultimately the ones who did this. And fortunately, Trump is going to sort all of this out. I have no doubt about it. And we're not going to see this kind of stuff happen anymore. Patty, I hope you have a very merry, merry Christmas. And be sure to listen to the Big Christmas Show tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun on that program. I can promise you that. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, when I started listening to Rush Limbaugh, every Christmas Eve, Rush would play Mannheim Steamrollers' version of Silent Night. And, you know, in spite of all of the chaos that is out there in the culture right now, there is a pause that we have to take to remember who is ultimately in control here and who's in charge. And Rush would do that every single Christmas, and it became a beautiful tradition. And I think for many of us, that last Christmas that El Rushbo was with us was one of the more poignant. And I remember committing early on that we were going to keep up that tradition here on this program in the noon to 3 hour. And I got to tell you, folks, it has been an incredible year for us. It's been a tough year at times, no doubt about it. We've had some ups, we've had some downs. But through it all, you guys have been with us, and we have grown our numbers, and we continue to grow our numbers. And I hope you guys know what a blessing you are to me. Even Jerry the Liberal, we're a family here on this radio program. And I hope you know, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, how much you mean to me. And our incredible team here. And it really is a team effort. We certainly miss Grace and Little Merlot, but Ben Dieter has stepped up and is really the finest executive producer in talk radio right now. We're in great hands with Ben. And Dylan behind the board just got married and starting his family, and what a blessing that is. And to have Cassie with us, one of the sweetest, kindest people. You guys have been so kind to her as she preps you to come on the air. And I just can't say enough great things about our team here. No matter how crazy things get in life, I've discovered something. that God is still in control and that we have to stay focused on Him. Forget about all the chaos in our lives. And if nothing else, this Christmas season, I hope that you do that. Just take a moment and count your blessings. Look around that Christmas tree and see who's there. Those are the most important things in your life, not the presents, but the people. So on behalf of all of us here at the Todd Stearns Radio Show, I want to say thank you. You are a blessing to me, and I am so looking forward to what's going to happen in 2025. It's going to be a great year, and it's going to be a great year because we're going to be celebrating together. So on behalf of all of us here at the Todd Stearns Radio Program, broadcasting from Memphis, Tennessee, I want to wish you the merriest of Christmases.